I bring you good tidings of great joy. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I wish you, on my behalf, and all the clergy serving St. Hugh of Lincoln, a blessed Christmas. And this night, I wanted to take you back how it must have been on the night of first Christmas. The world had been in existence about 4,000 years. All was now ready for the prophecies of the ancients to come true. All their signs had been fulfilled, and the world was ready to receive Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, as its Redeemer. God, who is all-wise and all-merciful, had, as we heard yesterday on Christmas Eve, already right after the fall of our first parents, prepared everything to fulfill his promise to make all things correct again. Now the thousands of years of misery and agony would need to give way to the light, the incarnation and birth of a Redeemer. The Blessed Virgin Mary and Saint Joseph, after a painful journey of at least 4 days in a mountainous country, arrived at Bethlehem. There they found the public inns already full. They were not able to procure any lodgings in the town, everyone despising and rejecting them because of their poverty. Before arousing sadness for the sake of Mary and Joseph's cold reception among the Jews, we should ask on this night, on this holy night, do we invite Jesus into our hearts and prepare a lodging for his reception in our affections? Have we, during this past year, used every opportunity to love Jesus and show this in our actions by showing love and charity towards our neighbors and even towards our enemies and people we don't like? This Jesus certainly wants us to do, and this he came from heaven to seek. But by spiritual coldness, sloth, or sin, we so often in our lives refuse him admittance. How many have been the occasions in this past year when we have not checked our tongue of the spilling scornful words of our neighbor, or when we have bypassed those who are in need of our help, even if the help asked had been only a tiny favor and effort on our parts. Of such treatment, Jesus will justly and rightly complain at the end of our lives, and much more than that of the people of Bethlehem. Joseph and Mary, in this distress of theirs, they retired into a cave made on the side of a rock, which is called a stable. It served for that purpose, perhaps for the use of those who lodged at the crowded inns. In this place, the Holy Mother, when her time was come, she brought forth her divine Son without the pain of other mothers, remaining both in and after his conception and birth a pure virgin. With what joy and holy respect did she behold and adorn the newborn child, the creator of all things made man for us. She wrapped him in swaddling clothes, such as her poverty had allowed her to prepare, and with holy awe laid him in the manger. We should also do contemplate how the choirs of angels descending from above in raptures of astonishment adored their God in this new wonderful state to which mercy and love have reduced him, and saluted him with hymns of praise. We are invited to join them in the persons of the holy shepherds. God was pleased that his Son, though born on earth with so much secrecy and in a state of most astonishing humiliation, should be acknowledged and recognized by men and receive the first fruits of their homages and devotion upon his first appearance among them. Dear faithful, who are they that are favored with the honor of this heavenly call? They are chosen whose character by their station is simplicity and humility, and whose obscurity, poverty, and solitude removed them from the principal dangers of worldly pride, and who were most agreeable to that love and spirit of retiredness, penance, and humility which Christ came to recommend. The shepherds were adorned their state with the true spirit of this simplicity and devotion. They were strangers to sensuality and pride of the world. They were at that time keeping the watches of the night over their flock. Then they were suddenly seized with exceeding great fear, but the heavenly messenger said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of exceeding great joy that shall be to all the people. For this day is born to you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord, in the city of David. And this shall be a sign to you. You shall find a child wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in the manger." And then suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of heavenly spirits and choirs, all praising God and saying, "Glory be to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men of good will." After the departure of the angels, the wandering shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem, and let us see this word that is come to pass, which the Lord hath showed to us." Dear faithful, the message delivered by the angel to these shepherds is addressed also to us. In them we are invited to pay our homages and devotion to our newborn Savior. Devotion gave the shepherds kind of wings in hastening to the manger. In the same way, with promptness and care, we must obey this summons. In thinking this mystery, we must honor our God and Redeemer, exulting with holy joy and paying to him the just homages of adoration, praise, and love. If we have neglected doing this in this past year, there is much chance for penance, but also much chance for newfound joy in the service of Lord. And I wanted to share you this story named The Holy Night, which, even though a story tells very well how our changes and attitudes must change during this now started holy season. There was a man who went out in the dark night to borrow live coals to kindle a fire. He went from hut to hut and knocked. "Dear friends, help me," said he. "My wife has just given birth to a child, and I must make a fire to warm her and the little one." But it was way in the night, and all the people were asleep. No one replied. The man walked and walked. At last he saw the gleam of a fire a long way off. Then he went in that direction and saw that the fire was burning in the open. A lot of sheep were sleeping around the fire, and an old shepherd sat and watched over the flock. When the man who wanted to borrow fire came up to the sheep, he saw that three big dogs lay asleep at the shepherd's feet. All three awoke when the man approached and opened their great jaws as though they wanted to bark, but not a sound was heard. The man noticed that their hair on their backs stood up and that their sharp white teeth glistened in the firelight. They dashed towards him. He felt that one of them bit at his leg and one on his hand, and that one clung to his throat. But their jaws and teeth wouldn't obey them, and the man didn't suffer at least the least harm. Now the man wished to go further to get what he needed, but the sheep lay back to back and so close to one another that he couldn't pass them. Then the man stepped upon their backs and walked over them and up to the fire, and not one of the animals awoke or moved. When the man had almost reached the fire, the shepherd looked up. He was a surly old man who was unfriendly and harsh toward human beings. And when he saw the strange man coming, he seized the long spiked staff, which he always held in his hand when he tended his flock, and threw it at him. The staff came right toward the man, but before it reached him, it turned off to one side and whisked past him for out in the meadow. Now the man came up to the shepherd and said to him, "Good man, help me and lend me a little fire. My wife has just given birth to a child, and I must make a fire to warm her and the little one." The shepherd would rather have said no, but when he pondered that the dogs couldn't hurt the man, and the sheep had not run from him, and that the staff had not a wish to strike him, he was a little afraid and dared not deny the man that which he asked. "Take as much as you need," he said to the man. But then the fire was nearly burnt out. There were no logs or branches left, only a big heap of live coals, and the stranger had neither spade nor shovel wherein he could carry the red-hot coals. When the shepherd saw this, he said again, "Take as much as you need," and he was glad that the man wouldn't be able to take away any coals. But the man stopped and picked coals from the ashes with his bare hands and laid them in his mantle. And he didn't burn his hands when he touched them, nor did the coals scorch his mantle, but he carried them away as if they had been nuts or apples. And when the shepherd, who was such a cruel and hard-hearted man, saw all this, he began to wonder to himself, "What kind of a night is this? When the dogs do not bite, the sheep are not scared, the staff does not kill, or the fire scorch." He called the stranger back and said to him, "What kind of a night is this? And how does it happen that all things show you compassion?" Then said the man, "I cannot tell you if you yourself do not see it." And he wished to go his way, that he might soon make a fire and warm his wife and child. But the shepherd did not wish to lose sight of the man before he had found out what all this might mean. He got up and followed the man till they came to the place where he lived. Then the shepherd saw the man didn't have so much as a hut to dwell in, but that his wife and the baby were lying in a mountain grotto where there was nothing except the cold and bare stone walls. But the shepherd thought that perhaps the poor innocent child might freeze to death there in the grotto, and although he was a hard man, he was touched and thought he would like to help it. And he loosened the knapsack from his shoulder, took from it a soft white sheepskin, gave it to the strange man, and said that he should let the child sleep on it. But just as soon as he showed that he too could be merciful, his eyes were opened, and he saw what he had not been able to see before, and heard what he could not have heard before. He saw that all round him stood a ring of little silver-winged angels, and each held a stringed instrument, and all sang in loud tones that tonight the Savior was born, who should redeem the world from its sins. Then he understood how all things were so happy this night that they didn't want to do anything wrong. And it was not only around the shepherd that there were angels, but he saw them everywhere. They sat inside the grotto, they sat outside of the mountain, and they flew under the heavens. They came marching in great companies, and as they passed, they paused and cast a glance at the little child. There was such celebration and such gladness and songs and play, and all this the shepherd saw in the dark night, whereas before he could not have made out anything. He was so happy because his eyes had been opened that he fell upon his knees and thanked God. Dear faithful, what that shepherd saw, we might also see, for the angels fly down from every Christmas Eve if we could only see them. If it is not revealed by the light of lamps or candles, and it does not depend upon sun and moon. But that which is needful is that we have such eyes as we can see God's glory. Jesus is come as the holy prophets had desired and foretold, such as our sins required, as our true physician and Savior. He wanted not on earth any honors or scepters, but he came not to taste of our vanities, riches and glory, and those he did not seek. He came among us instead to seek our miseries, our poverty, our humiliation, to repair the injuries our pride had offered to God, the Heavenly Father and Creator, and to give us remedy of our souls. Therefore, Jesus chose not a palace or great city, but a poor mother, a little town, a stable. He who adorns the world and clothes the lilies of the fields beyond the majesty of Solomon in his glory, he is wrapped up in rags and laid in a manger. And this he chose to be the great sign of his appearance. And this shall be a sign to you, said the angel to the shepherds. You shall find the child wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger. Are then rags and a manger the wonderful sign of our God appearing on earth? Are these the works of the great Messiah, of whom the prophet spoke such heavenly things? This is what so much shocked the Jews in his birth, and this and the humility and poverty of our God and Creator still scandalizes those who mock and scorn this holy mystery of incarnation. We are not among those mockers and scorners, but we have such a great amount of sin and its burden on our hearts. May this holy night be the start of a new life, the true life, as it was to this old and grumpy shepherd in the story. When he showed mercy to a helpless child, he saw the glory of the angels. Let us never turn our back anymore to those who plead our help in learning the way to heaven, and let us forevermore abandon the ungratefulness shown by the inhabitants of Bethlehem. And from now on, let us move to the company of the angels. I wish and pray you have a blessed and happy Christmas in true happiness in serving God Almighty and His Church. And may God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.